Be here, bringing books to life. Vision without sight.
The Light Watch Chronicles, Book 1, The Guardians, by J. H. Tepley, Episode 15. Produced and dramatised by Be Here.
Chapter 13. Nereis Uode, Echoes of the Past. Lost in their dreams of the days bygone, the castle ruins towered over the woods, draped in green fur of moss and vines. Through the tall windows, the sheets of sunshine seeped in, motley and narrow, glittering on the shards of stained glass. Antares rested on a large blanket of raw silk, her right elbow rested on a stack of cushions. A host of glowing shapes, changing, merging, vanishing and appearing again, floated in the air around her. The great star studied them pensively, her eyes half closed. Hegel was making notes. A neat lace of the Lyrian runes trailed after his pencil, covering the page. When there was no space left, Hegel turned the page over and started a new one. Nesteri sat beside him, strumming an akenbi. A ray of tinted sunlight coloured his hair green. Music of lost lands floated through the empty halls. Four silver chalices cast a gleam on the stone floor. Finally, Hegel put his pencil in between the pages, reached out for his chalice and took a meditative swallow. Viraparna was a superb choice after another morning of tough drills.
A bizarre feeling haunts me recently,
he confessed.
What's that?
Nesteri asked without turning his head.
Time. It feels as though it flows much slower for some reason. Have you noticed? Way slower than it usually would.
Because it does,
Antares told him impassionately, deep in her thoughts.
Why?
Hegel blinked, surprised that he could still be surprised after all he'd been through.
I am the reason, although your own contribution is not without significance, too.
I see,
Hegel answered cautiously and went silent, but his eyes were curious. Nesteri stopped strumming and pressed his hand against the strings. Both looked at the great star expectantly.
Very well,
Antares said. She adjusted her position to face the warriors, and the scintillating spheres around her faded away.
We exist in time like fish exist in water. We live and breathe it. The energy of time permeates all.
She made her chalice come into her hand.
But we can also influence it. The stronger your energy field, the more it bends the time around you.
Bends? Does that mean that I can change its speed at will?
Nesteri squinted with disbelief.
It's something you always do. You create temporal ripples just by the fact of your existence, even without knowing.
Right.
Nesteri pressed his cheek against the polished neck of the akenbi. The idea of being a master of time sounded surreal.
Time typically slows down in our presence,
Antares added.
Why?
Because the light within us comes from the domain of eternal or infinite time. It is where we truly belong. The more you step into your true essence, the closer you become to the infinite time.
I do apologize,
Hegel interjected respectfully.
I hate to admit, but those terms are unfamiliar to me. Our teacher never mentioned them.
I see. Strange that your temporal theory didn't include that aspect. There are two forms of time that exist side by side,
Antares explained.
The finite and the infinite. The finite domain is what you're used to, all your todays and yesterdays and tomorrows. This type of time is referred to as definite or finite because it only flows in one direction. The infinite or eternal time, on the other hand, is like white light that combines all colors. Its every moment contains the present, the past, and the future all at once. The physical reality acts like a prism. When the eternal time flows through it, it splits into the separate forms that you know. The light within you carries the power of eternity, and so it dilates and warps the finite time around you. The more energy you wield, the greater is your influence.
I see. Thank you,
Hegel muttered. He bit the upper joint of his thumb and looked ahead with a blank stare, contemplating.
Light and all gods. That's actually mind-blowing. It explains a lot.
Mysteri nodded heartily.
Explains my master Elsevier.
Yes.
Hegel rubbed his brow.
It does.
Speaking of time...
Mysteri shifted on the blanket, stretched and glanced around.
Would be a good call for Tay to come back. It's been a while.
Indeed. I wonder where he is.
For an answer, Antares pointed up and behind them. Across the roofless, grass-cloaked halls and over a lawn, a tall watchtower stood in proud solitude, flanked on both sides by jagged outer walls, weathered and grey. The winding steps shot up to the crenellated top. The base and middle sections of the staircase crumbled into a pile of rubble underneath. Tay was there, pressed hard against the wall, his fingers dug into the crevices between the stones, wind tussling his hair. He was descending slowly across the gap where the staircase was no more.
I could have guessed,
Hegel commented phlegmatically. Attention spurred Tay's bravado. Noticing being watched, the captain moved faster. Smooth like a tree cat, he shimmied down the side of the tower, bridging the gap in minutes. Next, he ran down a flight of winding stairs, jumped over a small break with only two steps missing, leapt from the edge to grab a supporting stone, swung from it, showered in crumbled mortar, and landed on the last remaining part of the staircase. He reached its end and looked down, contemplating. Below him was a mess of grass and broken stone.
7 feet at most, maybe less,
Tay reckoned.
Yeah, probably less.
He listened to the dull ache in his fingers. A jump would look incomparably more epic than a less dignified scramble down the wall. Tay snorted. If only all decisions were so simple. He sprang forward, aiming for a soft patch of grass, tucked his head in, touched the ground and rolled, almost flawlessly. Almost. A treacherous pebble of the size of a fist got under Tay's foot as he landed, forcing a sharp twist of his ankle. A bolt of pain shot up his leg.
7 damn winds!
The captain choked on his breath. He hissed, but slowly straightened up and dusted himself, pretending that nothing had happened. Walking was hard. Tay focused on breathing the light into his ankle with every step he took. Every single step. The pain was still there, but it gradually turned more bearable.
The view is grand from above,
he said, sauntering closer and picking up his goblet.
What did you see?
Mysteri asked.
The forest is huge.
The captain waved his left hand expressively.
It just goes on and on. That rare place. I tried to find it, but I couldn't. Guess it must still be far. The mountains in the east look unreal, though.
His gaze went dreamy for a moment, recalling the distant vista of the soaring peaks mantled in snow.
I wish we could see them from up close,
Tay added, taking a swallow of Virapana. He looked into his goblet, swirled the drink, then emptied it in one quaff.
You will,
Antares told him lightly. She rose to her feet.
It is where we are headed, the Cairn Mountains.
Sweet.
Tay joyfully curved his lips, despite the pain in his ankle.
I'm ready.
Me too,
Mysteri said, getting up as well. He put the Akenbi down on the silks, and as soon as that, it was gone.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Hegel echoed. Two figures hurried through the gloom. One, tall and cloaked, marched in wide cavalier strides. His hobnailed boots rang a heavy thunder on the muddy road. A golden crest on his surcoat, an archer with a double bow, heralded a wing commander of the city watch. An honour unheard of for a beggar's quarter. A cloak of cobalt blue billowed from the commander's shoulder, revealing two broadswords. Their hilts gleamed coldly in starlight. A small but deadly dagger was also tucked in his right boot, unseen. Commander Angford came, well prepared. Ever since the moon had vanished, the night streets became rough, particularly in the blighted worm dumps like this one. Dwarfed by the mighty stature of his master, cropped the nose, shuffled, panting by his side, struggling to keep pace. The years of servile hunching shrank his willowy frame, while the long, pointy nose that protruded ingloriously over his frowsy mustache made him resemble a rat. Cropped, one of the Empire's most dexterous spies, had been in Angford's service for 2 weeks now. His shifty gaze and toadying manners vexed the hell out of Angford, but the commander had to give the spy his due. Cropped had delivered, and swiftly, where all others failed. He tracked her down, the elusive Dio, a traitor and an enemy of the state who had the insolence to steal the Rainbow Tear, the greatest, the most sacred, and the most guarded treasure of the Kraljatan Empire. A hideous heist, the like of which the world had never known. But soon, Angford smirked darkly. Tonight he shall return triumphant to the Warden's Keep to turn in the prisoner and the gem. At last he would get the honours he deserved and the respect. They would be sorry, all those damned mockers. They would be. Angford's heart pounded with pride. In his mind's eye, he saw himself bowing to accept the golden chain and the purple cloak of the Chief Commander, a role he was destined for. He'd always known. The Rainbow Tear, a great diamond, was famous not only for its size, it was the symbol of the reborn empire. The gem appeared in the most blessed year, 853, when Tezzard the Mighty led a revolt, beheading the old king to crown himself in the Red Citadel only a fortnight later. That very night, the dazed people of Dvorn Darn saw in the sky a huge orb of the brightest silver, brighter than thousands of stars. The priests spoke of the heavenly sign and a blessing, and the Feast of Revelation was decreed to mark the dawn of the new era. The Rainbow Tear surfaced soon after, brought in by a farmer's boy. The rascal mumbled some hogwash about a star that fell onto his father's field. Nobody was stupid enough to believe that diamonds fall from the sky. The thief was jailed and tried as the custom had it. Little came out of it, though. The city watch had been known to crack even the stubbornest of minds, but the boy clung to his prattle with the obsession of a seasoned crook. His body proved too frail, much to Angford's ire, and the scoundrel took a dirt nap before they could squeeze the truth out of him. The diamond was presented to the king and placed in the treasury, in its best guarded secret chamber. The only man, except his brightest highness of course, who knew where it was kept would never speak again. A venomous sneer touched Angford's mouth. Soon he would seize Dio and recover the jewel. The girl would be too daft to sell it, he reasoned. But that wasn't all. The Rainbow Tear was more than merely a shiny piece of rock. It had magic. At least, that's what the common folk believed, and Angford did too. Rub it thrice and your dearest wish will come true, the legend said. Whether or not those tales held any water, the temptation was too great to wave it away. It was one of the reasons why Angford shared his plans with no one. He brought no guards. Cropped, on the threat of death, was ordered to keep his mouth sealed. Amongst all myth and fable, one thing was certain. As the jewel was gone, so was the orb in the sky. 3 moonless months passed since the heist. The angry gods took their gift back. After all these years, nocturnal darkness felt terrifyingly like a curse. Finally, a row of shacks emerged from the gloom ahead, crooked and hurdled together in a failed attempt to stand. A creaky door clung to the toppling wall. A worm-eaten beam held up a sagging eave. It was impossible to think people could live there. The captain winced as the rancid stench of sweat, mould, and rotten food hit his nose all at once.
"Lead on,"
he ordered to the spy. Cropped, twitched like an anxious hound, and lurched forward in that detestably hasty, limping gait of his that always vexed Angford. But right now, the commander didn't care to give a single glance. Right now, nothing mattered except the jewel and the girl that soon were to be his.
"And who's laughing now, huh?"
he gloated in his thoughts.
"Who's the oaf? You won't dare to mock me now. You'll see. You will all see."
A tattered door was before them, barely hanging on its rusty hinges. Weak flickers of light inside seeped through the cracks. Angford pushed on the iron knob, but found it locked. The commander growled. Nothing would stop him now when he was so close, so close. A hefty kick and the door flew in, shooting wooden chips and landing on the floor with a thud. Angford shoved Cropped out of the way and burst in, heaving and wheezing.
"In the name of... no!"
he bellowed.
"No!"
The chamber was empty. A heap of dirty rags piled in one corner for a bed, abandoned. On the shoddy table, a candle end was slowly burning down. The girl escaped. Cropped let out a long, squalling howl.
"I told you."
He covered his head with his veiny hands, shaking uncontrollably.
"Put guards around, I said, didn't I?"
He pulled vigorously at his collar as though it was strangling him and suddenly bit his teeth into his sleeve.
"Didn't I? Didn't I?"
His voice came muffled.
"But no, your damned greed. And now, what's now? She's gone. Mother of all sins, she's gone."
Angford pivoted in wordless fury. His cloak twirled with a swish, blowing the candle off.
"I told you."
Cropped's yowl continued in the darkness.
"I..."
Choking on anger, the commander swung his arm and sent a crushing blow in the dark toward the wailing noise. There was a crunching and a stifled moan. Then silence.
"A curious place, this one,"
Hegel muttered under his breath. On his left, a stream purled its way through the rocks, dropping in little cascades, shaking the bluish reeds.
"It's like, the more we walk, the sleepier I feel."
"Do you... I thought it was just me,"
Nasteri said.
"There must be something in the air."
"The shell grass."
Antares nodded at the reeds.
"It's what... don't,"
she warned, seeing Tay crouch by the creek and stretch his hands towards it.
"Don't drink the water where the shell grass grows."
"Why not?"
Tay raised his eyebrows.
"It makes you fall asleep at once, and gives you strange dreams."
"Really?"
Tay's curiosity flared up. He glanced at the stream again, then at Antares, and slowly straightened up.
"What kind of strange?"
"You'll dream that you've turned into a fish."
"A fish? That's random. Why?"
"It's just what the shell grass does. If you want water, it's best to get it from a grotto up ahead."
A leaf fell, swirling down, sun gilded and lucid, and landed by Antares' side. Tay reflectively watched its path.
"Got it."
The warrior gently rotated his ankle, cringed, and looked away to hide the squint of pain.
"Let's do it then. Better than some fishy business."
The grotto was cool, echoey, and a sparkle with crystals. From the darkened heights, water trickled down the walls in narrow ribbons, ringing against the rock. Streams gurgled on the floor among the silent dignity of stalagmites.
"Whoa, impressive,"
Tay gave the white, salty colossus an amazed stare, but instantly looked down to mind his step. Stumbling right now would be a pretty bad idea.
Get barefoot, if you will,
the great star suggested.
The waters are healing here.
Nice!
Nesteri crouched to reach the clasps that kept his laces tied, and his battle brothers did the same. All three loved the freedom of walking without heavy boots, the rough touch of the ground against the skin. In some curious way, it made one feel real, in touch with the present moment and himself. Master Alsvir always told him that it was the best way to start a day. Tay undid his boots, almost too hastily if anyone was watching, rolled his trousers up and stepped into the burbling coolness. Bliss. It felt like pure bliss. He rolled his neck backwards and squinted, relishing the feeling. So good. This was exactly what he needed. The hot pulsing in his right ankle was lessening, fading until all pain was gone. Tay breathed out a long sigh of relief, slowly opened his eyes and shot a glance to where Antares stood with the other two. The great star looked back at him, a warm, knowing stare.
Huh?
Tay snorted and rubbed the bridge of his nose. Of course she knew. His lips curved up in an awkward smile.
Well, thank you,
he said mentally, dipping his head.
For the healing and for the lesson, guess I deserved it.
Tay's smile grew wide. He checked his foot again.
Do we have time to explore?
Nesteri's voice echoed through the cave.
Go ahead,
Antares replied.
Perfect. Who's with me? Hagel?
Yes.
Tay?
Hmm?
Tay grunted with his mouth full of water. The captain swallowed and took another scoop from the stream.
No, I'll pass.
No way.
Nesteri frowned, disbelievingly.
Don't fancy an adventure? You?
Tay finished drinking and splashed the rest of the water on his face.
Cave's not really my thing.
He got up and wiped his hands on his pants.
Meet you outside.
Fair enough.
Nesteri shrugged.
Won't be too long.
His eyes flickered towards Antares, but then away, and didn't dare to ask. After Hagel and Nesteri left, Tay picked up his boots by the laces, threw them over his shoulder, and paddled toward the outside with joyful splashes. He even started humming a tune, but then cut off mid-breath and turned around as the awareness of his blunder came to him.
Holy Star,
he asked uncertainly.
Do we have to stay here?
We don't.
The great star replied as she joined by Tay's side, the hem of her green dress strangely untouched by the water.
No reason why we should.
Sweet.
Tay looked relieved.
I'm not a lover of dark places.
He paused at the opening of the cave, squinted in the light and smiled.
Would rather have the sky above my head.
His gaze wandered up towards the boundless aquamarine blue, as lucid as only the autumnal sky could be.
Sometimes I wish I could fly, like the birds do,
he added dreamily under his breath. There was something disarmingly serene about this moment, shared with the guardian alone. In the mild afternoon sun, the forest shimmered, gold. They waded back down the shallow brook, over the rocks that marked a clearing in the shell grass, and up the gentle hill bathed in sunshine. A thick woolen blanket trimmed with white appeared in front of them as they came close.
This is great.
Tay rolled back on the blanket, propping himself up on his elbows. He took his jacket off and put it by his side.
A perfect adventure as far as I'm concerned. Well, except Madaria is missing.
He smiled a roguish smile.
That we can easily rectify. And also...
Thank you.
Tay sat straight, accepting a silver chalice.
And also what?
And also...
Antares' amber eyes seemed to be looking straight into his soul.
I think it's time you let your pain heal.
It's all healed,
Tay replied excitedly, wiggling his foot.
There, as good as new.
He reached out and peeled off a small leaf that stuck to his toe.
I do appreciate your help.
That's not what I'm talking about,
Antares interrupted gently.
The other pain.
Tay's face darkened. He pressed his lips and took a swishing breath.
No.
He swallowed.
Not that. I can't.
Tay, listen.
The young warrior looked at Antares, his eyes filled with helpless despondency. He felt like a little boy in that moment, but he didn't care.
I can't.
He wheezed desperately.
I tried. I really did. It won't go away. I'm damned.
Tay dropped his head.
Please, let's not talk about it. Not now.
He flinched at the touch of Antares' hand on his shoulder.
Listen.
The great star's voice was kind, yet adamant.
You can't keep running away. You can't run away from yourself. Do you understand?
I guess I do. Maybe.
The wind brushed a silky strand of Antares' hair against his cheek. Tay blushed. The great star sighed.
Look.
She squeezed Tay's shoulder briefly.
What's hurting you is not what happened, but what you think it should have been. Your own expectations. Your own mind.
What do you mean?
Tay asked faintly. He emptied his chalice in one gulp.
I'm sorry, I don't follow.
If you find in yourself the courage and humbleness to face reality just as it is, without hiding, without wishing it away, if you accept that life is only what it is and nothing else, you'll find peace. Everything happens for a higher reason, even if you don't know what that reason is. Treat all that you go through as your training ground.
The code?
Tay breathed out in surprise and smiled, despite himself. He should have been used to it by now, and yet the great star always found a way to catch him off guard, somehow.
Yes, the code.
Antares smiled back.
Treat every day as your training ground.
Tay recited with a note of nostalgia.
Light, I actually needed to hear that.
He put the chalice down and pensively interlocked his fingers.
A good reminder,
he added after a pause.
Thank you. I'll meditate on it.
A small bird with a long blue tail landed on a branch nearby. The branch swayed and the bird fluttered away with the rustle of falling leaves.
Just to make sure I got it right,
Tay spoke again.
The issue is in what I think of the past, how things should have been. Not the actual memory.
Yes. It is the gap between reality and what you wish it were that causes pain. The larger the gap, the more suffering it brings.
Tay sighed.
I see.
He muttered contemplatively.
Sounds so simple when put into words like that. Almost too simple to work.
All great truths are simple.
Antares told him.
I'll keep that in mind.
Tay's gaze wandered pensively ahead, across the whispering trees and higher, to the flocks of white birds in sunlight and the wispy swirls up above. Somewhere, far in the east, awaited the town of Re, and the end of their journey. With that thought, strange sadness came up, mixed with a wish they didn't have to go. Alarmingly selfish. Tay frowned and chased it away. It was neither the place nor the time for such thoughts.
So, do you come here often?
Nisteri's voice sounded from behind, ironic.
Not fair.
Tay twirled to him. His blue eyes flashed.
I was busy talking with the Guardian. Didn't expect you sneaking up. That doesn't count.
Oh, yes, it does.
Nisteri told him with a smug grin.
Vigilant, alert, and ready. All the way. 8-5 to me. Pretty neat score.
Git.
Tay threw at him good-humouredly.
I'll get you next time.
Please do excuse us, Holy Star.
Hegel cut in with a tone of apology.
It is a game we have to catch each other unawares. Admittedly juvenile, but it serves to keep our skills sharp.
Antares smiled.
I know.
And it's fun.
Nisteri squinted impishly. Tay glowered at him, but his lips curled in a smirk.
You sure know how to be annoying. Anything interesting in the cave?
You should have come with us.
Hegel said.
The place was captivating.
Captivating, huh?
Tay quipped.
Don't like the sound of that one bit.
He means it's pretty chill.
Nisteri plopped down on the blanket. His trousers were damp from the knees down, grey merging into ink where the water reached it.
You saw the stalactites, but there were also stones that glowed in the dark as we came close. A pretty blue, and some green ones too. Once we moved on, they went back, dark again. Oh, and we found something like little dragons. I mean, Hegel did.
Hegel grimaced at those words.
I mean, his backside did.
Mysteri sniggered.
What?
Tay chuckled. Hegel set his lips hard.
He nearly sat on them.
Mysteri explained.
And they were less than happy. Chased after him and tried to bite. It was hilarious.
I don't think that particular story was worth telling.
Hegel grunted, displeased.
It was so funny, I dropped into a well.
Mysteri continued, unruffled.
You what?
Tay's left brow went up. That was getting better than he expected.
The floor there was all holes, shallow but filled with water. Hard to see. I was too busy watching Hegel's chase. What a good dancer. So I stumbled, fell into one of those wells or shafts or whatever.
Mysteri glanced at the wet cuffs on his pants.
I was lucky being barefoot. After that, we decided to head back.
Sounds like you had a blast.
Tay laughed.
I never doubted you two.
And we always deliver.
Mysteri announced smugly.
Speaking of delivering, I took something from there. It's a...
Rock.
Tay finished for him.
Yes.
Mysteri admitted, puzzled.
How did you know?
You always pick them up. You had a whole box in your room back at the academy, remember? Weirdo.
Good memory.
Mysteri smirked.
I did. Can't have them anymore. But I would like to keep this one, if I may.
He looked at the guardian questioningly.
It's yours.
Antares nodded. Mysteri courteously dipped his head.
We would have been back earlier, but he spent forever choosing it.
Hegel grumbled. He took off his jacket, folded it carefully, and put it on top of Tay's.
And we've missed out on Medari, it seems.
Look to your right.
Antares said.
Oh, thank you. I needed that.
Hegel snatched his chalice and raised it in a silent toast before bringing it to his lips.
Let's see what he's got.
Tay demanded.
Sure.
Mysteri dived into an inner pocket and produced a small flat stone, polished like mirror. Tay frowned quizzically.
What about it?
Maybe a bit too bright here, but watch this.
Mysteri rubbed the stone between his fingers. As soon as that, a soft glow kindled inside, emerald green, and spread across the rock from end to end.
Just wanted something that would remind me of here, later.
Neat. Later, huh? You have what seems like smart ideas sometimes.
When I'm lucky.
Be here. Bringing books to life. Vision without sight.